I mean, the call was that I was coming back. Eric and I were going to go back and meet with the production and tour manager with them at 9 o'clock. And so at that point, we kind of came back and we were still looking at it. And we're like, well, there's only one more band of rain coming through. And that, and I pulled them outside and I was like, do you see that pink horizon right there? Huh. That's, you know, those are the stars and the moon and everything that's going to be over us during the show. And so, and they were like, well, how late can we play? We're like, you can play as long as you want.
Welcome to Explore Big Sky with Horry Marmon, where we take you inside the stories that matter in Montana's Gallatin Valley. We are your hosts. Joe and Michelle Borden.
The 2023 Wildlands Music Festival was a wild and wet affair that rocked all night long. On this episode, we give unsung hero Enyan Williams just enough time to dry off before he recaps the weekend.
Get this man a microfiber towel stat. Enyan is a priceless local treasure and should be treated as such.
You're really leaning in heavy to the wet and wild stuff, aren't you? I was like,
wet.
Why are we talking about a microphone?
Did
I was
it
like,
not
oh,
rain, Michelle?
Wild
it did. God, yeah, and it was wild.
You like a theme. This guy likes a theme. Give him a theme, people. So yeah, Enyan's VP of events for Outlaw has been for quite some, over a decade now,
yeah,
I believe.
Goes way back.
And also, yeah, he is one of the few people who's lived in Big Sky longer than I did.
He's been in Big Sky for
92.
A long time. If you spend time in Big Sky, you will recognize this man.
I feel like when I first met him, I was like, I know you. And that's kind of how Big Sky works. It's nice. But no, he is an incredible person.
Familiar
who
face.
Who is a hard worker.
Absolutely.
And not only does he do so much for Outlaw and the
a
events
hero,
and stuff
really,
like that.
In some respects.
Yeah. And he also plays softball with the local league.
Also a sweetheart. Just a sweet man.
Yeah. also spilled a drink on my head once when it was really turbulent going into Denver. That was Enyan. Yeah, when it hit the ceiling and sprayed everywhere.
Yeah.
But it was funny, and it was a good memory.
Enyan is the lifeblood of all the cool, fun stuff that makes summertime in Big Sky the envy of the world, really. Is that too far?
It's too far.
Okay. Envy of the Mountain West.
I don't know, though. A lot of people come from all over the world to come to Big Sky, and they're like, look
it's
at
true.
This place.
I wouldn't
holy
say
crap.
The far side of the world, but maybe the near side of the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of nearsighted, let's read an ad for 406 Agave.
Oh, all right. If you insist, why don't we go ahead and do this? Añejo is here!
Hola!
That's right. 406 Agave has an amazing new addition to their lineup of premium tequilas. A beautiful amber Añejo, aged for 18 months.
Man, I just salivated. It is tequila made to be savored,
yeah,
especially
right.
to pair with these long, cool summer nights. Visit 406agave.com to learn more and to see how you can have your favorite tequila delivered directly to your door, no matter where you are in the country or no matter what kind of alcoholic you are and don't want to go to the store to buy your agave.
Sometimes it's just a matter of convenience.
Yeah. Unless you show up to the door in a costume every time and pretend to be a different person.
No, obviously. That's a terrible decision.
Yes, this is a vacation rental.
Who are we talking about right now? This is not based on a real person. But yeah, I can't imagine a better situation than just opening the door and here it is. 406 Agave just being handed to you. That sounds great.
Yeah. I like tequila. I do. I'm not big drinker, but when I drink, I like a good, like, smooth tequila, and 406 is smooth.
What is your favorite type of tequila, Michelle? Is it Blanco, Reposado, or Añejo?
Blanco.
Is it?
Yeah, usually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you like to shoot it? Mix it? Margarita?
Yeah. No, if you're doing a margarita, it doesn't really matter. But, like, if you're having it with just, like, a little lime.
You're just drinking it straight, Blanco.
I like lime and some maybe club soda. Club soda, lime, and some like good smooth Blanco.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. But I haven't tried their new Añejo. That was our dog. He has Dumbo ears.
Shakes his head a lot.
Yeah.
It's a weirdo.
I think I wish you could see his face right now, guys. He just stared me down.
Unfortunately, it's not a visual medium. But yeah, go out and get some of that 406 Agave. Try that Añejo.
I love you.
And please
You're
reach out to us. Let us know what you think.
Sorry, you got to be back.
Obviously, it's not going to be Michelle's cup of tea. She's a Blanco woman, always has been.
I haven't tried the añejo. I would like to try it, Chuck. I'm not petting you right now.
Stop interacting with the dog.
Okay, I'm not going to interact with the podcast. I'm not going to interact with a podcast while I'm petting the dog. Fine.
Derailing things.
Poor sponsor. Let's get to the onion interview.
They're the ones making this podcast possible, and here you are just talking to the dog.
I just said I salivated when talking about tequila. I'm not a big drinker. I like tequila. It's a good flavor.
You gave them 20 seconds of your attention. It's really all you've got.
They need to work with, you know, a mezcal. Get a mezcal in there.
You do like a mezcal.
I do. Everybody's like, not everybody likes mezcal.
Maybe too much. A little mezcal goes such a long way.
You know why I like it?
Why?
Because I'm too much, and a little of me goes a long way.
You are the mezcal.
I'm the mezcal of women.
Yes. All right. So let's talk to Enyan, I guess. Might as well get that in the works here. And you and I can clink our glasses and have a little shot of 406 Agave. No?
Oh! Okay. Whatever that was.
Here's Enyan.
Hi, Enyan. You are VP of events for Outlaw Partners, and you have just finished two rodeos and a festival, 3-day festival weekend in Big Sky. Am I leaving anything out, and do you need oxygen?
How are your vitals?
Well, fortunately, I haven't been able to leave Big Sky, so my red blood count is still pretty high. So
nice.
I'm still here. We started off actually with a camp concert of about 3,700 folks that came to see that before the Big Sky Rodeo, which was before the PBR. So we actually did have a concert before that got us really good perspective on got us ready for having 3,000 plus people in Big Sky for a concert.
How many people were here?
I believe we had 3,700 for camp, 3,500. Anyway.
Wow.
Not a lot of difference between those two numbers and our arena of that we have here in Big Sky.
Yeah.
That's
great. I read over 9,000 for the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Does that sound accurate?
Is that for PBR?
That was for Wildlands.
Oh, for Wildlands. For Wildlands, I think we were definitely in that league of what you're talking about, for sure.
Pretty good to keep that many people happy and fed and watered and safe. I would say that's pretty impressive. You're often described as the unsung hero. You're the MVP of Big Sky events. Do you really sleep at the venue? I know that joke is made, but how much time are you spending there?
No, I did not sleep at the venue this year. I did spend a 24-hour stint there, but I can't say I slept.
Wow.
This year the Foo Fighters did come in on Saturday night at about midnight and did an overnight load in. So with festivals, this is fairly commonplace that the headliner band will come in and load in overnight because there's so many other bands that need to, you know, load in and do that as well. And a lot of festivals start the next day around noon. We started about 5 o'clock with ours. So it was a lot of work for us to bring them in overnight, but it made the day on Sunday go very smooth. As you can imagine, the Foo Fighters show up with quite a production set. And so to get that into our small little facility, took some time.
And you're doing it all in the dark. And then I saw you on Sunday and you looked like a spring chicken. I could not tell that you would have been burning the candle at both ends. So
no.
Good for you.
He's one of those people. He just came back from playing community softball to do this.
You have no business doing an interview right now. Well, you're a crazy person.
Well, you know, you spend a couple of years working on something and it all comes down to 48 hours. It's, I mean, can you, compare it to having a baby, you know. You spend a lot of time. It's not like you're going to walk out of the room when you're giving birth. So
yeah,
it's that kind of feeling.
Let's talk
there
about
was no
that
way
baby.
I was going to bed or be able to sleep a wink of sleep Saturday night anyway.
So I it was hear really cool you. To see.
I hope you got the husband stitch.
Let's talk about that baby, though, Enyan. Give us the backstory for getting Foo Fighters to Big Sky.
Well, I have to give most of that credit and work to my hard to call him my boss. He's my partner in crime on a lot of this stuff, Eric Ladd. I do work for him, but he doesn't make it feel that way. It was really a dream of his to bring this band to this town. We tried to do it a couple of years ago, and unforeseen circumstances stopped us from doing that. So we pivoted and had a fantastic concert last year with Jason Isabel and Brandi Carlile.
Yeah.
That was amazing and really set the stage, and really I feel it built our confidence as a company and a town to know that we can bring in large acts and bring in 3,000 to 5,000 people for a concert and put on in the small venue that we have. So we came into the show this year with quite a bit of confidence, and lo and behold, you know, we were actually back in November. We were sitting around trying to figure out who our headliner for this year was going to be. And all of a sudden, Eric's phone rang, and it was like, "Well, we're interested from JC, the manager of the Foo Fighters," and we're like, "We're really sorry, we had to cancel on you, and so we'd like to come back." So they actually approached us, is even cooler than us having to go back after them. We didn't think we would be on their radar, but they kind of reached out to the places I think that they canceled out on last. A couple of years ago, and we certainly did not say no.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I have a new respect for the Foo Fighters. You know, they had people in the audience raise their hands on whether or not they've been to a Foo Fighters concert, and you know, there's a bunch of people that raised their hands, and then there's a bunch of people who raised their hands that had never been to one, and he said, "I'm going to change your mind tonight." And at that point, he already had, because we had been on, was it a 2-hour lightning delay? It was.
I'd like to say it was less than that, but it was about an hour and a half. I think hour and 15 minutes.
Right, right. Wow. Around that. And then once he's on stage, the sound cut out for a bit.
The PA
yeah. cut out, and he just keeps jamming. From using the screens behind him. He asked everybody, yeah, he's looking at the audience. He's like, "Can you hear this? Can you hear this?" And he didn't.
Well, you got to figure, you know, in 26 years, that's probably not the first time that's happened for him.
No.
The guy's been on stage for a long time. And, you know, it's something that you bring up there is from start to finish working with this group of the Foo Fighters, everything from their management in New York and LA to the tour managers and production manager. The production manager was the one I worked with the closest. Okay. Absolute professionals. You know, they are all about being prepared. They're all about asking every question and making sure that we're ready to go, so that if things like that do happen, they know how to pivot, and
right.
they do it enough to know how to pull that off. When you meet their team, a lot of their team has been with them for many, many years.
Wow.
And when you talk to them, they're happy people. They're not, they don't sleep. If you think that I don't sleep, I mean, good Lord, those guys, you know, a 4-hour nap is like a full night's sleep for you and me.
That all must come from the top. That comes from Grohl, because I was so impressed that in that moment when the PA was shut down and the crowd couldn't really hear him, that he didn't throw a hissy fit, and he just kept going and made it fun for everybody who was in attendance there. So he seemed super engaging, and I was impressed.
Yeah, Definitely. He won us over.
After the show, I talked to the production manager a little bit, and I was like, well, you know, a small little hiccup. I didn't really even want to mention it to him, but I was like, that was a small little hiccup. He's like, Dave loves it when that things go wrong. He's like, he thrives on that. And so, you know, they've all seen it. They've seen everything. They've done everything for, you know, I think the one thing that they had, they've been to venues that are small. They've been to venues that are underprepared for what they're bringing. I don't know that they were prepared for the mud. Yeah. The mud was kind of, it was the factor they was sort of like, okay, everything's fine. We can deal with rain. You know, we know how to postpone for lightning, but you guys got a lot of mud here. we worked through it, and fortunately we had a paved parking lot across the street for all their buses because they did not want to get their buses muddy.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, it was a fantastic weekend, and not only fun for a music festival, but also there was a check presented on stage for $500,000 for American Rivers and Gallatin River Task Force. Can you elaborate a little bit more on how that came about? Was that all from the concert, or is that from a combination of the entire weekend?
Well, it was a really special thing for me. I'm actually the board chair of the Gallatin River Task Force for the last 3 years.
Awesome.
And so being super involved with the Gallatin River Task Force, we've, you know, for about the past 10 years held an annual fundraising event that has been sort of what I have worked with the task force on every year, and how I got involved with them actually. Mm-hmm. And so to bring it to that level and to have the connections that we made with Tom Skerritt, and to have them involved with it, and then to bring in this concert around it was really special. So
it's fantastic. You know,
there were many avenues that we were able to set up with this event to raise money and awareness for the conservation preservation of rivers, not only in Big Sky, but across the country. You know, it was really a celebration of the 30-year anniversary of A River Runs Through It.
Yeah.
That was the connection that we were able to develop with Tom Skerritt, and who came out and celebrated that at our event on Friday night. We took a significant portion of the ticket money that came in for everyone that bought a ticket and put it towards it. We raised money through paddle raises. We raised money through selling $5,000 seats to the event. So if you bought a $5,000 seat for the concert, half that money went to the rivers, and half of it went to your seat and the experience that you got to have with that seat. It takes somebody like Eric Ladd to think it through how to bring all of these different resources in to raise money. And we did. And so, you know, we're going to be writing some big checks to these organizations, and then following up with the donors and the people that did it and show them how their money is going to be used. Because, you know, the 30-year anniversary of A River Runs Through It, it also, you know, ironically coincides with 30 years the Gallatin River is on the DEQ's list of a threatened river for algae growth.
Yeah.
So it's it all kind of ties together, and you know, what better way to do it through a music concert? And you know, I think that the folks that, you know, were sticker shocked by a $400 or $500 ticket to go to the concert were probably felt good about themselves when they saw a $500,000 check go across the stage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I bet they did.
That novelty check read $513,473, and hopefully that'll help us pass the Montana Headwaters Legacy Act, right? Call your senators.
Vote for Rivers.
People.
which is super important. And thanks for bringing that up, because that was, that's definitely been a focus of both American Rivers and the Gallatin River Task Force. And, you know, bringing those extra protections to our rivers out here really is the focus of what we do with the Gallatin River Task Force and here locally in Big Sky. And to have a focus group like that, that really concentrates on the river and can keep that historical data, so when people like ask what's going on, you're it's not just subjective information. You're actually coming to them with the science and the data.
That's right. Let's protect 20 rivers and what is it, 386 river miles in Montana? Let's do it. And for a moment there during the breeders set, the lightning started to hit, and it looked for a second like God did not want the Foo Fighters to play. Can tell me from that point on sort of what happened and how we got to the point where you guys greenlit the rest of the show.
Yeah, well, it's hard to bring in people who've never been to Montana and talk to them about Big Sky weather, right? And it's not like any other place. And so we had gone through this. So we Thursday night of PBR, we had to evacuate the stands and tell everybody to leave, and then have a storm come through and invite everybody back. We have done this before. It's not our first rodeo in having thunderstorms hit the Big Sky during one of our events. And so it was a little bit of talking. They're all very concentrated on their radar screen. Radar screens tell you what's coming, and they're pretty accurate. And the fortunate thing, so those lightning strikes hit, those things caught us off, everybody off guard pretty quick, because there had been no lightning, and all of a sudden there was lightning, and it was literally on top of our head.
Yeah.
So evacuate. Fortunately, I feel as though we made that call really quick, so that we got everybody out into their car and before the rain hit, so that you didn't get everybody soaking wet and cold, and then they really wouldn't have wanted to come back. And so the fact that we got everybody out quick, and then we looked at the screen, we're like, this is going to take an hour. So let's just be calm, and we're going to, I mean, the call was that I was coming back. Eric and I were going to go back and meet with the production tour manager with them at 9 o'clock. And so at that point, we kind of came back and we were still looking at it, and we're like, well, there's only one more band of rain coming through. And that, and I pulled them outside and I was like, do you see that pink horizon right there? Huh. That's, you know, those are the stars and the moon and everything that's going to be over us during the show. And so, and they were like, well, how late can we play? We're like, you can play as long as you want. And so that was good that we weren't in a city that, you know, if we had a city ordinance that said you couldn't make noise past 11 o'clock, we might've been in trouble. But, so anyway, we said 9:15 and we all stood there with them, and they were like, you guys have to make the call. You're the festival. And we all looked at each other. It's like, well, we're not saying no. So we made that call, and we got them back in at 9:45. And those guys in the back, I mean, those teams hustled that equipment off and back on the stage so fast to get that thing set back up and ready to go. It was amazing. Everybody's back there shivering and shaking because it was cold and wet, but they did a great job.
Ah, very fun, very tense. Mother Nature's intermission.
It was a pretty tense moment there. You know, it was. There's no way that we were saying no, and we know Montana Big Sky weather enough to know that it was going to clear and we were going to have a nice night as soon as that rain fleshed out. Stars were shining during that concert.
Yeah, they were.
You could look up and you could see the stars. So,
I know. That was a gift.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe somebody was messing with us and just testing us a little bit, but, yeah. You know, testing our perseverance.
Definitely. What time did it wrap? It was
about
after
11:30, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
They were on until close to midnight.
Yep.
Just rocking
through
the night.
We were trying. I know somebody who really wanted it to go until after midnight, but I think he missed it by about 15 minutes.
Well, Inyan, thank you so much for all you do for our community. Outlaw does so much in terms of entertaining everybody and taking care of our rivers. And I know that you've got a big weekend on the river yourself.
Well deserved.
So, yeah, I hope that you can relax and kick your feet up after some hard work.
Yeah, and know that you're doing good for those rivers, right?
Yes, yeah, it is. I'm happy to kick my feet up and relax a little bit, but, it's some people would say it's a hard job, but it's a pretty fun job, too, so I can't complain. The exciting thing is that we get to plan for next year, because we've got a green light to do this again next year. So
all right,
that's ready. Exciting.
Get ready for 2024.
Looking forward to it. All right,
we'll have you back on.
Yeah, I know. All right, Inyan, thank you. Enjoy your evening of relaxation.
Okay, you too. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Inyan.
The Hoary Marmot Podcast wouldn't be possible without the generosity of Big Sky's local businesses. Music by Top Flow Production. Please subscribe to us and rate and review, and then go gush to your friends.